If I could get your attention and get you back into your seats again for a minute.
Go out.
Proceed. As a first step, we would like to entertain questions from members of the Board of Trustees. And I understand anyone who has a question, please let me know. But I would like to turn to Trustee Gravenhorst, who may have a question or a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is this working properly?
A little louder.
Not loud enough. In case it isn't working properly, I shall just speak loudly. I do not have a question, but I would like to take this opportunity to thank Judge Garippo for his voluminous and tireless work on this project. You provided us, particularly in this book, a very succinct history of Chief Illini work, which I appreciate, particularly the passages about the rapport that has been established in Florida between the Seminole Indians and the school there. But especially, I just want to thank you for all of your work, and even though you didn't read all 18,000 pieces, you were there to read them or to go over them and to assimilate them into this report, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Judge, a question. To the extent possible, do you feel that this dialogue process has included everyone who has an opinion, again, within reason, who has an opinion about this subject, that they have had an opportunity, every opportunity, to weigh in?
I believe the opportunity was there. The difficult part, if someone makes a contribution and then as soon as the report comes out, thumbs through it and doesn't see that contribution spelled out in his or her own words, that person feels that the concept or the idea is lost and no one paid attention. It's obvious that there were a number of arguments that were apparent right from the intake session. And we began from there, and we had those people going through it in my office who were going through this were people who knew what these arguments were and were looking for arguments that were a little different and this perhaps stated it a little differently. Just because it isn't stated in one's own words, that doesn't mean it wasn't considered. I don't know if that answers the question.
Yes, thank you. We have a question from Trustee Plummer.
Thank you. Am I live?
Yes.
I'd like to add my thanks as well to that of Trustee Gravenhorst and applaud the work you did and the even-handed approach that you kept while going through it. Let me just, a little context and then my question. At the outset, you made comments about people making too much of statistics and the data collection doesn't lend itself to scientific accuracy, and that for the most part, you leave it to people to infer what they want. You put it out there and let them draw their own inferences and conclusions. I was curious about the approach you took, the one approach you took to get Native American input. To me, it looks as though you went far enough to get the input, but somehow, if I could use the expression, censored yourself in the process. Was it a question of it not being valid? Were you concerned about the inferences that might be drawn? Because you did state some conclusions coming out of that. So if you could help me a little bit, I'd appreciate it.
Well, I really intended not to bring it up. And the only reason I bring it up is because of criticism that Native American voices weren't being heard. So I suppose in a defensive measure, I said, well, look, here's what we had. I could have put that out, but I know it's unreliable. There's a question as who should be considered a Native American. I mean, we could have some wealthy alumnus sitting up in the North Shore who's one-eighth Indian, and he writes and he says, you know, I favor the retention of the Indian. Well, then someone else would say, well, wait a minute, you know, I'm a full-blooded Indian, you know, my, and I live on the reservation, and I should be heard over a full-blooded Indian who lives in the city, or the, but you know, who's half-blooded, who's one-quarter? I said, I'm not going to go there. The figure doesn't mean anything anyway. And why just inject that into the report? I left it out of the report, and I mention it only to show that it isn't an easy thing to say, oh, let's hear the Native American voices, and let's hear from these organizations that, quote-unquote, represent Native Americans. Mm-hmm. So, and I say quote-unquote because I don't know the degree to which they represent a true Native American voice. We had letters from full, and it did include, so as not to ignore the issue, we did include in the appendix a couple of letters from people who were Native Americans who said they wanted to retain the chiefs. And that was just to show that, yes, we did hear people say that. And we wanted to know that there is an element out there, but this isn't a vote. I don't know how many Native Americans in the United States favor this whole elimination movement.
Thank you.
Are there further questions from the board? If not, I'm sorry, Trustee Lamont?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
It's not a...
Judge Griffel, I was...
Now, can you hear me? Let's try anyway. I was interested in the fact that your report spends a considerable amount of time on the discussion of compromise. And I'm not sure if you're aware of some of the other history and how we have handled at the university level the chief and the logo. Over the past 10 years, the university has removed the logo of the chief from the football fields, removed the logo of the chief from the basketball court. We no longer have the chief on athletic uniforms. We prohibit the chief from attending any other events outside of his performance at selected athletic events. He's no longer allowed in the homecoming parade. He's no longer allowed to go to social and service clubs. We have removed the black eye war paint from his face. We have significantly limited the merchandising of the logo. It's my opinion, and that is not through the trustees, by the way. That is through the other elements of the university taking steps, I think, to wind down to some extent the use of the chief, and I think it was an effort probably to bring some appeasement to those who would believe that the chief is and that the logo is inappropriately used. And some might say there was an element of an effort to compromise in that respect. Would you care to elaborate on Professor Lynn's comment here that is compromise dead? Is it too late for compromise? Would you speak to that issue?
Well, you know, I have my own ideas about the whole issue. I made a serious attempt to keep it from my keep it from my report. It would be difficult to answer that without getting into something that I wasn't directed to do.
Are there further questions from the board? If not, Judge, we could move to questions from the audience.
We have a number of questions. Some of them aren't questions but statements. So I'll try to concentrate on the questions. Starts out, if it was your decision, would you keep the chief? I think I've answered that. What impact will this report have on the chief issue, realistically? The jury is out on that. I have no way of knowing. This says, I believe that no instructor at the University of Illinois should take class time for pro or anti-chief activities. Do you agree? That's an educational issue. And incidentally, I should have probably taken it up in my comments. One of the comments was that I didn't discuss the chief as an educational issue. Well, number one, I don't think that the dialogue was set up to discuss that. Whether or not it's an educational issue is for the professionals out there. I'm not an educator, I'm not a professor. I was a student a long time ago. But, I don't know if it's an educational issue or not. That's not for me. And certainly, whether or not it's an educational issue isn't a matter for, 15,000 anonymous contributors to be discussing. It's for the professionals to discuss. Asked, have you seen the chief's performance at football or basketball games? When and how often, roughly? I have seen the chief's performance. When my daughters were here, they weren't here together, so they were each of them here 2 years, 4 years, and I would see at least one or two games every year. Question, does the majority no longer rule? Well, I don't think that's a question, but that's a statement, and I think it's set forth in the report that certainly the majority doesn't rule on an issue what's right or moral or proper. Here's one. In your opinion, can this dialogue present a third door where sincere people of sincere concern seek common ground? And that's for the people on both sides to decide. I believe this has been answered by the question about academic freedom. It says, why was there no public input on how the dialogue process took place? Who decided the format process? The format in general was decided by the board, I imagine. It was decided before I was on board. And I suppose you can't have a dialogue on how to conduct a dialogue because then you'd have to have another dialogue, I suppose. So, you have to get to the issue sometime. I believe this has been answered. And it says abolition of slavery, women's rights to vote, civil rights for minorities would never happen by a vote. Do you consider minority rights a matter of popularity? No, I don't. In your opinion, as a judge, as a public institution like the U of I, have any legal obligation to respect minority rights? Well, they have a right. They have an obligation to do it both morally and by law. Yes. In the report, people say there is a tension on campus because the university maintains the chief. I'm a junior and see little, if any, tension. It seems mostly to be the complaining of a loud but small group. Where is the evidence of tension? Well, I guess we're all here today because of attention. When did the concept... you mentioned that you are going to change the sources for your definition of racism in your report. What sources are you currently using or considering? I have not defined racism. I included a definition of racism because that was the theme of an argument presented by the pro-chief side. And pro-chief people would say, how can it be racist if it's this, if it's noble, if it's respectful, if it's this and it's that? And that is how that remains. But I realize now that was interpreted as my definition of racism, and it comes from a misreading of the report, probably caused by the confusion that I injected by probably being a little too tricky in setting up this format. I wanted the format not to like hit you in the face. I wanted people to read it and digest it and say, you know, what's he driving at? And in the meantime, they would read this and start to, and maybe at least not accept another view, but appreciate another view. So I did not have a definition of racism. I will include a definition. There are a few definitions, and I will use as a starting point a definition that Sid Crewe from the National Coalition of Sports and Racism, sports on racism in sports and media, and I'll start with that, and rather than just zeroing in on that one, I will then mix it in with other definitions of racism from an anti-chief standpoint. I realize that was not included in my narrative on the anti-chief stance. It says, is the chief white? Has he always been? I believe the report says that he always has been. I was asked how the pro-chief movie Chief was in my report when it was made public months after the deadline for dialogue submission. I received submissions all the time. Professor Kaufman and is always sending me things, and I've included things from Professor Kaufman. I've included things from Carol Spindell. I've included things from various people that I sought. Just because the dialogue process ended, I sought out Professor Kaufman. He wrote to me, I think, maybe first, but on many issues, I sought him out. And I sought out help from various people. And so just the fact that the dialogue was cut off at May 30th, that was a dialogue mailboxes, but that didn't mean that I couldn't go out and seek further information. It says, why did I not contact any of the various Native American organizations to determine if the chief dance and other elements of his performance, paint feathers, etc., are considered to be a misuse of a religious ritual? I was looking for authoritative sources. We had a lot of people come forward. I think if you listen to the intake session, There were people, some Native American people, who got up and said, this is a religious ceremony. There was nothing, that's what I said in my prepared remarks this morning. They offered nothing to indicate it. And it really was contrary. And, you know, one group of anti-chief people were saying, it's a religious ritual. The other side was saying, it's not authentic. Well, wait a minute. It's either a religious ritual or not authentic. And then we have the present chief come and say it's authentic fancy dancing. So that's why I tried to go to some sources. We did have Native American organizations or people who came forward and said it was religious. And I looked for something to support statements from any side. Here's a question. Has the Board of Trustees ever consulted with or sought input from key campus administrators or members of the university's public relations staff on the issue of whether to retain or eliminate the chief? I don't know. Sometimes I have a little trouble. Yeah. Here's somebody who wants to support my report, but I'll leave it off. It says, will you be donating any of your earnings made from this report to the Native American reservations who are in need? That's a good question. I will consider that. I hadn't thought about that. I'm on so many lists now. They asked me if I've spoken to any Native tribes. No, I haven't consulted actual tribes. The closest I came, I talked to Michael Haney, and unfortunately, Michael Haney was dismissed for having talked with me. But do you consider the chief issue an issue of human rights and minority rights? If so, now can there be a compromise on this issue? Well, whether or not it's a question of human rights and minority rights is part of the debate. And that's what has to be determined. And a compromise, it's another issue. It says, how much money has been spent on the dialogue process so far, and where has it come from? Number one, I don't know. How much money were you paid? I'm not entirely sure about that. My firm sends out bills, and I assume they're paid, and I would estimate that the total fees for my firm, they're not paid to me, they're paid to my firm for all the people working on it, will be in the neighborhood of $150,000. Okay. This is a statement. Excuse me one moment. Here's a question. Why does the Board of Trustees have the authority to keep or retire the chief? Where in the university official documents is this authority vested in the board? I don't know. Some schools handle it differently, and I don't know. Here's a long one. Here's one from a professor who again, misread my report, and as if my definition, it was my definition of racism rather than the definition of the pro-chief people. And again, that confusion will be dealt with. This one says the role of the judge in the dialogue is to convey respondents' remarks to the trustees. The report states that very little has been submitted to the dialogue regarding the potential conditions for compromise. The chief could remain under circumstances. Nevertheless, a substantial section of the report is dedicated to the idea of compromise. Can you explain why the report emphasizes something that was not submitted to the dialogue? Well, it was submitted to the dialogue. Professor Lin's remarks were submitted to the dialogue. I dare say, based on the arguments presented about listening to minorities, if he was the only person who mentioned compromise, and he wasn't, but if he was the only person who mentioned a compromise, and if it was a good idea, should it be ignored because there was only one? Oh, this refers to the quote from that I taken from the website with Zubke's definition of Chief Illiniwek. And I just took it from the website. This is what Zubke said about it. Now, you know, I went to Notre Dame. You know, football coaches say a lot of things. The story of legendary story of Newt Rockne saying "win one for the Gipper" is supposed to be really, you know, George Gipp never said that, but it's stated. But this is what comes from the website. There were a lot of things on the website that were just put in the report as coming from the website, and as I said, my remarks. Some of those comments aren't very flattering to the pro chief position, yet I just included them there so you could view them. Now, I wasn't going to say arguably because of this statement by the Chief Illiniwek website. You know, look at the argument can be made. I didn't point that out because no one else had pointed that out. I wasn't going to point that out, but I just put it out there for people to look and read and study. Here's a point. It says the report states there are conflicting reports within the university's website as to whether the outfit was donated by Fool's Crow or purchased by the university. Did you contact the marching band to ask which information was accurate? No, and it really doesn't make a difference. A point about the Florida State says in my report, it says that there have been no protests against the Osceola performance, only the name. The writer is, that's Carol Spindell. And I wish to thank Carol Spindell. She gave me a copy of her highly publicized book, Dancing at Halftime, long before publication. And much of the format of my report comes from her book. I know she doesn't agree with the end format, but I do appreciate her having given me this. And also I appreciate the fact that when I would call her during the process, that she was very prompt and helpful in getting this back to me. So that's why I'm reading as many of her remarks as I can. It says on page 43, a pro-chief speaker asserts that some anti-chief groups also seek to remove Mein Kampf, Huckleberry Finn, To Kill a Mockingbird. Have any anti-chief groups or individuals written the dialogue requesting the removal of these literary works? You see this as a significant argument on the pro-chief side. Well, the Sir, I know the quote that Ms. Spindell is speaking of, and certainly the first part of the quote is very significant. It says that here we have, I mean, paraphrasing, but here we have the English department, the last department in the world you would think that would want to censor anything. And I believe what he was trying to, and I took it pretty much word for word from his public statements at the intake session, and the idea was that, you know, there are people who would the people who would wish, I don't think he meant the anti-chief people. I believe he meant there are people who wish to stifle the First Amendment, and that at some time these various literary works were sought to be removed. I don't think it was meant by the speaker to mean that the anti-chief people are trying to do this. It goes into the fact of why I did not go into the legal arguments, excuse me, as to whether or not the presence of the chief creates a hostile learning environment. You know, I'm a lawyer, and that's both good and bad, I guess. But as a lawyer, I know you could take a lot of positions, and you can find authority and legal arguments to support each position. And certainly, if we gave two lawyers this issue and said, each one of you come back and tell me, you know, what are the legal arguments, we'd have a pound size brief on each side laying that all out. And would the general public or even a bunch of lawyers care? But the it certainly was not my role. That was a self-imposed role that I assumed, that I wasn't going to go into including all the legal arguments for and against, because those can be stated in so many ways, and if I would state the arguments and they weren't stated correctly, and then it's an area that there is no hard and firm answer. It asks if any individual group wrote to the dialogue advocating a name change for the state. No, not. All I'm saying, I included a remark that would, in fact, it was as part of the argument, one of the selected remarks was, this is what somebody said. Like, the next thing they'll want to do is change the name of the state. Well, as an advocate for your position, one way or another, and as obviously Carol Spindell is an advocate for the elimination, well, you just take that statement, you see how ridiculous it is that, you know, no one has done that. And, you know, that isn't the argument. And this is what someone says in support of that. And like every argument that is selected is not selected because it's such a great, I mean, every comment that's selected is not selected as such a great argument. It's just a typical statement that people make. And they want to be heard, I will include it. But it also, on both sides of the issue, there are statements in there, there are comments in there that really don't make much sense. But I want you to read that. And I want you to make the decision that that is either good or bad. So just because I put it in there, they attribute everything that's in there to me. It's not me, it's what's come in. This is a discussion of the Florida State Seminoles. Without getting into the long, I don't know if this is actually a statement. The Florida State Seminoles is probably different than any other situation in the country. And I don't know if you could really ever duplicate the Florida State Seminoles. First, the Seminoles in the state, I don't know about all of the Seminoles, but a lot of Seminoles in the state are not living in a poverty type of situation. The Seminoles, in many instances, are part of the establishment in Florida. It was an interesting article that appeared just a few weeks ago. Down in the state of Florida, they're advertising for men, women, children, anyone who would agree to come and work as an alligator fighter. Now, for shows or exhibitions. And those jobs used to be filled by members of the Seminole tribe. But now all those young people, they say they're in college and law school, and they can't recruit the Seminoles to do this. And so they're looking high and wide for people to come and fight alligators down in Florida. And you have to realize too that the tradition was started with the Seminoles. They are partners. They're partners in a lot of things going on in Florida. So, you know, it's hard to have that same situation here. The closest thing we have is the Peoria tribe in Oklahoma, and they're removed from us. They're not part of the Illinois present day culture or society. They're Oklahomans, whatever they call it, people from Oklahoma.
Just as a matter of not to interrupt you, but we have a couple more questions from trustees, and maybe we'll interject those at this moment. Trustee Shea?
I get the impression the questions coming to Judge Grippo are, was the report fair? Or that's where they keep running to me, and I think, you know, he did what he thought was the right job. He did it as fairly as he could. He did it under the parameters set by this board. We have it. So I think it's now up to us to take the report, read it, and go from there. So, we have some business we have to get done today. So I would make a motion that we now adjourn and continue our meeting at the Illini Union.
Can we just hold that thought for a second, Trustee Plummer?
Well, I was just going to ask the judge if there were any nuggets in there that's never addressed.
I just wanted to ask the judge if there were any nuggets he hadn't addressed, and then I would certainly support Trustee Shea that we probably need to move on.
It's hard to say. I mean, I'm answering questions and trying to read, and it's really sort of difficult to... there was one thing I did want to discuss, and perhaps I should have included an additional sentence. And it's something that actually I caught afterwards. When I discussed the issue of the vote of the student senate, faculty student senate, back in 1995, was it? Was that 95? It pointed out that I devoted one sentence to the fact that the issue was passed, and then several sentences to the fact that it was the complaints of one student that was taken from a newspaper article. That paragraph was, it wasn't lifted, but close, from a news account of the meeting. And what's surprising to me is that, so people have complained that I've devoted one paragraph, sentence, to the fact that it passed, and three or four sentences to the complaints of the student about how it was loaded and people weren't given enough time to talk. But really, as an anti-chief, I would love to take this report from either side as a lawyer and run with it and make a complete presentation. And if, from an anti-chief standpoint, you would take this and you say, well, wait, you're complaining about that. For all these years, the Faculty Student Senate has never rescinded that vote. There's no indication that they're going to take that vote back, is there? And that should be the focus. Rather than the focus is some suspicion on my part that because the words don't number up the same, that I'm part of perhaps some dark conspiracy to have this thing come out one way or another. And believe me, I'm not. When I originally was asked to do this, they said, people say, well, how would you like this to come out? And I shouldn't have said it, but I did say it, and luckily I wasn't quoted, but I'll quote it now. I said, I didn't care. I said, it's not my school. I didn't care. Now, after studying it, maybe I have some care for it. But the fact of the matter is that no opinion in there, nothing that I did in there reflects any opinion or any care that I have. And any care that I have was really developed after I finished the report. So that I believe that people, again, are reading the report with suspicion rather than reading the report with an idea, what is it out there? Is it the last word? Is every argument stated to the nth degree? Absolutely not. There were 15,000 people sent these things in. I had a staff reading them. I was the only one to determine what goes in, what goes out. I mean, to do this and express everybody's opinion, you'd need a complete staff of people and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that isn't necessary. I don't think that would be necessary. And it wouldn't advance the ball one bit with respect to this debate. I think that's... That concludes her. Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Trustee Schmidt, did you have a question?
Judge, I would like to talk about something you didn't want to talk about for just a minute, but I think there's a reason for it, and that's the issue of symbol and mascot. In your history of Chief Illiniwek, you state that the term, quote, Illiniwek, refers to the complete human being, the strong, agile human body, the unfettered human intellect, the indomitable human spirit. I don't think that anyone would not agree that those are wonderful things. I think the disagreement lies in, does the particular personification of those things as presented embody those things. The question is, can any conceptualization embody or represent or personify these wonderful attributes that were described in terms when defining this Chief Illiniwek? The question I have for you in the argument of symbol versus mascot, after reviewing everything you have reviewed and hearing everything you have heard, do you think that it is possible that some compromise could be reached whereas a symbol that personifies this becomes the symbol of the university so that it can be metamorphosized not from a mascot but to a symbol for everyone, so that those who have this particular vision can keep a vision, and those who wish to have a symbol that also represents their particular ideation reflect these values? Is that compromise possible?
Well, you know, it's again, my mission was to get all the remarks on something very narrow, Chief Illini WIC, which I'll still call a performance. It's and the you know it is a symbol for an athletic team. I mean, I shouldn't say symbol. I should. It is a designation for an athletic team, and so you have to view it in that light. It is something for an athletic team. You know, if you try to make it, well, you try to make it more than it is or less than it is, it's very difficult. And again, that wasn't my role, and I didn't view it in that regard. I viewed it with the limited goal of determining whether or not Chief Illini, the arguments for whether or not Chief Illini Rick should stay. I didn't answer your question. I don't know if I can.
We have promised to get you out of here on time. We're going to do that. I do not see any questions from the board. The judge has hopefully answered the questions from the audience. I first want to thank the judge for a fair attempt to represent opinions, his impartial approach to this, and his very informative approach to this dialogue process. I also want to thank all of you who took time out today to come here. We really appreciate your attendance. The Board of Trustees will reflect on what we saw here today, the report from the judge, and in our deliberations over the course of the winter, we'll hopefully respond in some fashion in the spring. Again, the meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.